for Truth to Tell. Welcome back to Truth to Tell. I'm Michelle Ali Marotti.
And I'm Andy Driscoll. This week, we look at various questions around the threats to our personal and collective privacy and away from the prying eyes of Big Brother, not to mention the corporations gathering information on us. But first, as we round the corner on legal same-sex marriage this coming Thursday, we want to hear from Amy Hero Jones. With all about marriage madness, playing at Patrick's Cabaret in Minneapolis the night before. I'm going to turn it over to Michelle, who knows Patrick's Cabaret and Patrick Scully.
Yep. So we've got Amy here to talk about Marriage Madness, which is actually not a show, right? It's more of a...
Is it like a review or
an
something?
Event.
It's actually a marriage.
It's marriage.
Oh, it's a real marriage.
It is, yes.
Oh, are you somebody going to get married every time you do this?
No, we're doing it for the one night. It's starting at 12:01 on, Thursday morning. So the very first minute where same-sex marriage is legal. And Patrick is conducting a marriage for anyone who wants to... get married that morning.
So is Patrick ordained?
He is, yep.
All right. So did he get ordained just for this?
No, actually, he's been ordained for a while and has been conducting marriages for several years.
Awesome.
And now this is the first time, of course, that he gets to, in the state of Minnesota, legally marry.
I had no idea Scully could perform marriage.
Yes.
I think a lot of our KFAI family is probably familiar with Patrick's, but let's just talk a little bit about, where you're at and what you do. So people know.
Well, so we're at, a theater in Minneapolis that was founded by Patrick Scully 27 years ago, really to break down boundaries and allow opportunities for artists of all backgrounds and all sexual orientations and everything to be on our stage and have opportunities to perform with less barriers.
And it's been sort of open to anybody to come in. It's always had this mission of being welcome and accessible to folks. So this event is sort of right along those lines. Anybody who has been thinking about it and knows that the first is coming up and that you can get married, is this event free?
It is. It's free. And also...
Do these people really want all these strangers popping in for all their weddings?
It's a big celebration. Yes, absolutely. So we've got...
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We've got a lot of couples so far that are planning on getting married. We also have a lot of people that are coming just to celebrate, this sort of big big day in Minnesota.
Some marriages are taking place at City Hall, too, right? Is this where Ryback is doing some marriages?
I believe so, yes.
I know
there are some celebrations going on.
And her partner are getting married at midnight or something.
Like that. Thursday night's going to be a fun party.
Big time.
Okay. So do people have to call ahead of time if they want to be a part of the actual ceremony, or can they just show up?
Really, they can just show up. We'd prefer to know just so that I can plan for numbers. And if it's a large enough event, then maybe we do it outside or we do it in the theater. So, it's great to know so that I can plan. But, it's open and free to everybody to come and celebrate. So,
Your theater is, if I remember, I was up there once. Mm-hmm. It's like a pretty good-sized hall kind of situation, right?
Right, right.
You don't have a proscenium stage.
No. It's really sort of an open...
In the round?
Yeah. No, it's just like, very open for... And very... It's not an actual stage as much as it is sort of an open area.
Like in a ballroom or
something. Yeah, exactly.
It's an old firehouse.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, we're hoping lots and lots of people come out just to even be part of it.
And you said you have like eight couples so far?
About eight couples so far that are for sure getting married. Mm-hmm. And if somebody does plan on getting married, they obviously need to bring their marriage license. Mm-hmm. And then everything else will be taken care of. Patrick will sign off on all legal documents.
Well, what a great kind of a gig. What a great gig that is. I mean, that's out of sight.
Yeah, and so it's located just a little bit off the corner of Lake and Minnehaha, right? And
Correct.
It by the big rainbow flag.
The big rainbow flag, right.
On the top of the firehouse there.
3010 Minnehaha Avenue.
3010 Minnehaha, and at the stroke of midnight is when the first wedding will take place. Or is this going to be done
all
in a group?
One group wedding, right.
One large wedding. Right. So he's going to stand up there and reach. like the Reverend Sun Yamu. He did it in a stadium, didn't he? Yeah. Oh, it's not quite that big with Patrick.
Not quite
now,
that big.
Do you guys feel like you're in competition?
You know,
with the mayor?
No, not at all. Oh. In fact, I think it's, we're just really excited that this is happening at all. And so this is just one of many options out there. And no, I don't think there's a competition
you
at all.
You talked about a sign that you've had up for years, and now that you're going to have to, I mean, you don't have to take it down, but you know, you don't need it anymore, right?
Yeah, let's hear that story.
Well, so, you know, we have been flying a rainbow flag above the cabaret since Patrick founded it in 1986. And, you know, when he put the flag up, he said that, you know, until there's really equality and injustice for all people and GLBT rights is equal to everyone else, that flag will fly. And so, you know, we kind of had a conversation when the marriage law went through, you know, is this when we take the flag down? And we decided no. You know, there's still a lot. I mean, this is a great victory for Minnesota, but there's a lot of inequality still in the world.
You can hang out a shingle now. All gay marriage.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll continue to fly the rainbow flag.
Awesome. So this is Marriage Madness happening at Patrick's Cabaret this Thursday, but it's technically
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
We'll gather about 10:30 or 11 maybe at night and have a little bit of music and entertainment, and then have the marriage
at
12
o'clock. What a guess. I mean, it sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, so if you want to just show up, you can show up, but if you want to get married, they should contact you, or how should they get a hold of you?
Yeah, either way, you can contact me through, the easiest way would be my email, amy at patrickscabaret.org.
That's pretty easy.
And Patrick's does not have an apostrophe in your email.
No,
right?
It does not. Just all one word and no apostrophe.
Amy@patrickscabaret.org. What a guess.
And do you have more information about the event on patrickscabaret.org?
We have, we do on our website. You can find out more information about that. Or always you can call or email me, and you can find the phone number online and everything.
You have a great name, by the way. I love that.
Thank you.
Amy Hero Jones. It almost sounds like a Bob Hope movie.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a very fun maiden name to have.
I'll bet it was. Yeah. Your teachers loved you.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you very much for coming in to tell us about all that.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife Betty subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
Okay. A little surprise vignette there. You know, it's kind of weird. I get this. The scary depth of information about this guy in that satirical call to the pizza shop is partly prescient in that one of my own pizza shops answers my calls with, "Is this Andy?" And yes, we know that you have sausage and pepperoni and mushrooms and green olives. Yes, we know that. Oh, God.
Well, don't you like it when they can remember you as a regular Andy?
No, well, that part is okay, and I've been going there for years. But
as long as your medical records don't come into play.
Yeah, you never know what's going to come up next, and that's the whole point here.
Yeah.
Now, how soon our pizza vendors or any others are making pricing decisions based on information revealed to them by details assembled through invasions of our privacy is unknown. But what may seem ridiculous and even hilarious now may not be so funny in the decades ahead. Several films, one of the most glaring being Lost in Translation. Do you remember that one? Where Bill Murray finds himself pitched from massive television screens as he walks down from commercial products simply while walking down hotel hallways in Tokyo, point to the amazing intrusion possible by banking every aspect of our information, and including our faces. Identity theft is rampant, and much of it is going to these commercial sellers.
On the other hand, as our most personal identities are becoming the stuff of control and commercial pitches, so is the surreptitious listening in of our conversations and the recording of our most intimate conversations in the name of national security. The FBI, the NSA, the CIA, and any number of credit agencies also are collecting data and making judgments about our patriotism and citizenship, and not to mention our ability to purchase houses and cars and appliances, and being rejected or arrested sometimes based on false information or constitutionally protected viewpoints and dissenting behavior.
The increasing and accelerating imposition of secrecy, extreme precaution, prosecutions and punishments inflicted for shattering it, the extraordinarily expanding exercise of police powers to beat in skulls and arrest demonstrators and dissenters, the global hounding of leakers on charges of treason and the spying so-called national security agencies engage in the name of protecting us from faceless enemies and not our freedoms, when those freedoms mean the most, are emerging as the prime issues confronting our personal and electronic liberty in an age when the lines between the latter and the former can so easily blur. Today's guests are here to talk about what, if anything, we can and should do about this, and whether we even have the legal and political wherewithal to put a stop to it.
And we're going to meet them right now.
Good.
Joining us from her office in the Center for Media Justice in San Francisco is Amalia Delaney, or Delaney?
Mm-hmm.
How
Delaney.
Do we say that?
Delaney. Yep.
And that group's associate director, she's the associate director as well as director of its Media Action Grassroots Network Project, or MAGNET. Amalia was the executive director of our local Main Street Project when she was here in the cities, and has been the tireless advocate for media justice ever since. Amalia, welcome back to Truth to Tell.
Thank you.
Did I butcher your last name?
No, it's fine.
Okay, how do,
and
tell me how to say that.
She complicates things by never having her name capitalized.
Yeah.
Come on, Andy, it's not that hard. It's Amalia Delaney, you did just fine.
No, it's Amalia Delaney, okay. But it's like John Powell, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, the great John Powell, as a matter of fact. Well, Chuck Samuelson's back with us. Chuck is executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union here in Minnesota, and is focused heavily on civil liberties in every arena across the state. Chuck, welcome back to you.
Well, it's great to be back.
And get your big mouth
on the microphone.
Chuck's an old friend. Put it right by the microphone, if you will, please. Yeah, great.
Why don't we just have you get on to that next one right over there, I think.
Is that not coming through?
Is this the one you want me on?
There,
that sounds much better.
There you go.
All right, just shove that down. Yeah. Okay, good.
And then also joining us today from California is the founder and CEO of what he calls a private social network with the difficult to pronounce name Scruples.
Scruples.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Scruples. Okay,
there
yeah.
is. Thank you, Mark. That's Mark Weinstein. Mark is a privacy advocate and commentator, including he's also a contributor for the Huffington Post. Mr. Weinstein, welcome to Truth to Tell.
Thank you. And that's scruples. It should be easy. There's an English word called scruples. About
like in scrupulous?
Right.
Well, that's right. But this is a made-up word, isn't it?
It's the scruples with the group in the middle.
Yeah, that.
G-R-O-U-P-L-E-S.
Yeah, right. All right. So, but you essentially pronounce it scruples?
Yeah, you pronounce it just like the English word. It's a play on the word.
Okay, all right.
Right. It's that private community.
Yeah. Well, you know, you see the G there and you say, scruples, scruple. It's kind of fun, actually, and I get it. So, well, welcome to Truth to Tell, anyway. We want your questions and comments, listeners, about the impact these privacy invasions give us by giving us a call at 612-341-0980. That's 612-341-0980. Or tweeting us at TTT Andy Driscoll. You can also post your comments on TTT's Facebook page. I don't know. Are you up on Facebook?
I'm up on Facebook.
Oh, that's good.
And Twitter.
Oh, good. We were having a little trouble in the control room about this, but now we're up. Okay, good. And we'll get to as many as we can during the hour, keeping in mind that with two of our meager three phone lines taken with our guests today, we have to ask you to call back if you get busy signals, but it'll be worth it. We're also, by the way, streaming live on video online at livestream.com/truthtotellmin, M-N. And so if you'd like to watch all this craziness over here, you can go up online and do just that. All right, Amalia. Start us out, will you? And talk about your primary concerns about what it is your outfit is doing to address them.
Well, there's so many things. I would divide our approach to the privacy concerns into two parts. On one hand, we have all of the concerns related to the what we might call like political security of people who are active in the country fighting for social justice. So organizers, activists, advocates, and then folks who come from vulnerable communities. So immigrants, refugees, and people who have either been formerly incarcerated or are family members or friends of people who are either currently or have been formerly incarcerated. So there's a whole host of concerns we have there around people who are fighting for, immigrant rights, racial and economic justice, criminal justice. There are really about this broad surveillance, right? Like this idea that a dragnet is really created, not a safety net, and that whole communities are kind of sucked up into this vacuum-like situation. A shadow of doubt really cast across the whole community that's difficult or impossible to change. So that's one part. And then the second part, and I'll stop after this one, is then looking at all of the pieces around privacy and security and surveillance that have to do with the consumer angle. So what happens when your Facebook and your Gmail and your data, your income data, your address of where you live, how many apartments you've rented, what kind of cars you drive, what sort of magazines you read, all of the consumer profiling that goes on and the data mining that happens there, and then the predatory ads that really happen, particularly for low-income communities and communities of color, where all of that information is then used to generate a profile about you, and you're sold items either at costs that are higher than most people, or you're given, or you're put in financially risky situations by being sold like mortgage rates that are bad, things like that. So we have the consumer angle, and we have the political security angle. Both of them matter to us.
And a lot of we remember, of course, as you do, 2008 here, and we'll get Chuck to talk about that a little bit, when we had the Republican National Convention in St. Paul, which was suddenly turned into an armed camp, and people like Amy Goodman were thrown in jail, and it was really, you know, pretty remarkable, this quelling and using local police and arming them to the teeth to quell the dissent against public policy, especially anti-war people.
Well, and let's not forget, you know, the RNC 8 debacle was all started by surveillance as well.
That's exactly right.
The big problem was the federal guys, not so much the local guys. The Secret Service didn't care. They didn't care about prosecuting
people. This
was
Chuck Samuelson, by the way.
They just wanted to pull people off the streets. And so they would follow them, as they did with the eight. And they would simply arrest them and hold them for the duration of the...
Create a culture of fear.
Yeah. And but they would hold the people they thought were the most...
Just keep them away.
Yeah, they just keep them away. Exactly. You know, and
the whole idea was just to keep them away from the convention. And by the way, some of us, you know, here at KFEI were working the inside as well as the outside there. And Amalia, were you around then?
I was. It was when I was still in Minneapolis, and you know, it was incredibly scary. I think for most people, I think you know, doubt, the suspicion, everything it creates is, you know, has a really chilling effect. You know, and at the same time, I think it was a good reminder that for many people who have been active, particularly from communities of color, and you know, obviously thinking of you know KFAI in Minneapolis, you know, folks who come out of the American Indian movement. The Chicano movement, the Panther movement, and suffered under COINTELPRO in the 70s and 80s, you know, really understood what was going on and how this level of surveillance was nothing new.
Yes, but now we have... Oh, go ahead. Chuck Samuelson.
It hasn't changed, and it's just gotten better because the technology is better.
Yeah. The technology is itself kind of scary, isn't it?
You know, it's a tool, and we need to take control of the tools and not have the tools take control of us. And that's what we've allowed to happen in this area, as in many other areas of social justice. We've allowed the capacity to do things, to have things done to us, and we haven't politically taken control of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a Rich Neumeister on the phone. He's a no privacy advocate in St. Paul, and an open government lobbyists and stuff. Rich, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great show.
I just have a couple moments, but yeah. I'm sure you might want to touch base on this. What's very important is, you know, there's the NSA, the national level, but also, you know, there's a lot of efforts and to try and do something on the national level, but it's also very important to be involved here locally. And Chuck can tell you a little bit more about that. I'm sure some of your other guests, but locally, with our state legislature and other things, there's a number of issues that will be coming up this past session, the past few years, and in the 2014 session. And also, there's a number of tools like the Data Practices Act and all that, and maybe Chuck can tell you about how they use that tool to get some of the license plate reader stuff. But that's not the only issue. I mean, there's tons of issues out there, and people can get involved. And that was just the emphasis I just wanted to share with you very quickly. As someone who's doing this all summer, I'm working on license plate reader data. I'm working on
there's been some interesting stories about that.
You know, so
thank you, Rich.
Well, thanks for calling, Rich, and we'll get you on to talk a little bit more about some of the open government stuff a little bit later in the year. How's that?
That's fine. I just want to emphasize, you know, folks locally can do a lot of stuff on privacy also.
Yeah, okay. We can.
Thanks, Rich.
And we're going to take a quick break here, but when we get back, I want to bring in Mark, and I want to talk about social networks, especially because we've got a comment here on Facebook about that as well.
We're talking with privacy advocates about the various ways we citizens and consumers are being tracked and probed and pitched and recorded by law enforcement, national security agencies, and corporations. Our guests are Amalia Deloney, Associate Director of the Center for Media Justice in San Francisco, and Director of MAGNET, or the Media Action Grassroots Network; Chuck Samuelson, Executive Director of the Minnesota Chapter of the ACLU; and Mark Weinstein, Privacy Advocate and CEO of Scruples, California-based private social network, which I want to hear much more about.
And you can also join the conversation as well by giving us a call with your questions and comments at 612-341-0980, 612-341-0980. And if you have trouble getting through, it's because we have some guests on the phone today, so we're down to one phone line. But you can also try us on Twitter by tweeting us at TTT Andy Driscoll or posting your questions and comments on Truth to Tell's Facebook page, facebook.com/truthtotell. We'll get to some Facebook comments right when we get back. Stay with us on Truth to Tell.
We'll be right back.
We're back on Truth to Tell. I'm Michelle Ali-Murati.
And I'm Andy Driscoll. We'll return to our conversation about consumer and citizen privacy and civil rights in just a moment. Next week, we'll examine the status of what has become an epidemic of Islamophobia in the dark corners of our society, something that may have simmered underneath a culture that often claims to have been founded on Christianity, these United States, I mean, a claim often used to vilify other faiths and many of them associated with our ethnic diasporas. This was only highlighted by 9/11 and very well heightened, I'm sorry to say, this was only heightened by 9/11 and every well-publicized transgression by those hailing from Arabic or East African countries, whether citizens or citizen wannabes. We'll talk with those who try to set these things straight along these lines, including the fact that while it may seem human, it is manifestly ignorant to listen to the bigoted pundits trying to lay all of our woes at the feet of Islamic residents, newcomers, and elders alike. Same could be said about Latinos entering the country, and same could be said about any new faces here. But then, once again, our live and lively Community Connections Forum will air direct from the White Earth Reservation here on KFAI and on several other stations around Minnesota August 14th. Put that down on your calendar right now, because a proposed tribal constitution is being debated formally and informally as we speak, something that would very seriously affect enrolled White Earth members, at least 60% of whom live here in the Twin Cities, and all of whom are currently eligible to vote in this new home rule style constitution to replace the blanket Minnesota Chippewa document now governing all Ojibwe tribes in the state. Not all, actually. The Lake Superior tribes, I believe, have their own constitution. I know Chuck works a lot with natives. We'll talk about that with him, too. Well, again, we'll bring you this important topic live from the res and feature, among other panelists, Tribal Chair Irma Visner, a welcome from iconic Winona LaDuke, good friend of our programs, White Earth's maven for sustainable practices, and a drum prayer to open the gathering. Well, again, we'll air that live right here on KFAI at 7 p.m. and August 14th, with later replays all over the state and with video versions playing on cable channels here in the cities and elsewhere. Watch for announcements and event pages on KFAI's and Truth to Tell's websites, Facebook pages, and the various native media here and across the state. This is being seen as a potentially major shift in the way enrolled and non-enrolled residents of White Earth participate in their government, in their tribal governance. So don't miss this opportunity to learn and educate others in American Indian governance.
And right now, we'll get back to this conversation about the implications of privacy invasions and national security spying. You can call us to join the conversation at 612-341-0980. Again, that number is 612-341-0980. You can also tweet us at TTT Andy Driscoll, or post your questions and comments on Truth to Tell's Facebook page. And we actually already have a comment on Facebook from Rob Mitchell.
Mitchell, yes.
And he brings up an interesting point, which I'd like to get to, and then we can bring Mark into the conversation as well. Mark Weinstein, who's on the phone with us. Rob brings up the issue of corporate surveillance, not just national security surveillance, and the fact that Facebook and Google in particular and Microsoft and Apple are collecting enormous amounts of data, especially metadata surrounding, you know, things that we don't even really think about of every moment of our lives. You know, it tracks our locations, our interests, things we might want to buy. As Andy mentioned at the top of the show, a scene from Lost in Translation that it deals with target marketing and the fact that especially corporations like Google can monitor your email. I don't know about you, but I have everything in my
Google
account.
Well, apparently they recognized his face walking down the hall. I mean, that's what that was the scary part about it in that movie.
And so Rob's concern is that, you know, there's been a lot in the media talking about this NSA surveillance, but that the corporate surveillance is almost a bigger threat with just the enormous amounts of data that they're collecting about us. I know personally, I've been I'm in one of my really good friend's weddings coming up in January, and so there's been a lot of email going back and forth about bridesmaids' dresses and plans for the wedding.
Oh, I can
and
imagine
all of a sudden,
what that's about.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I'm getting all these emails and Facebook ads talking about wedding stuff and rings and dresses, and you know, it's clear that my conversations are being
somebody's watching you.
Yeah, here. They're being watched. And
okay, so Mark Weinstein, very quickly, I read your really rather well written article. Thank you very much, on Facebook fatigue or Facebook failure or fracture. I'm sorry to say yes. Talk about scruples and talk about what your concerns were and why you put this together.
You know, this is really such a great conversation. If we go to 2010, we go back in time, when Mark Zuckerberg and Eric Schmidt and Steve Jobs say that privacy is dead, and Mr. Zuckerberg says that privacy is a social norm of the past, that should have been a huge, you know, like, you know, red alert.
Yeah.
And it was for me. I'm one of the originators of social networking online, having built a company in 1998 that included superfamily.com and superfriends.com, because the internet is a great place for us to communicate. It's a great tool to facilitate communication.
And hook up,
and, you know, and so here we are now in 2013, and our listeners are exactly right, saying, you know, wait a minute, never mind the NSA. The NSA, which is, you know, a huge issue on its own, in its own, you know, right, about what they're looking at. But what about Facebook, Google, Gmail, now Yahoo? If you've got a Yahoo Mail, it's the same thing today.
Yeah.
What about all of this spying? And so I endeavored in 2010. I said, we've got to fix this. Privacy is a natural right of citizens in democracy. It's always been, and we have to protect this. And, you know, since when did privacy get threatened by technology? Privacy is now an endangered species for human beings, threatened by technology, and that's not acceptable.
Chuck,
so I created this company, Scruples.
Okay. Which, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, so Scruples, which is really designed to be the next generation of social media. That's what Forbes calls us, because it is designed to sort of take what Facebook's done and improve and enhance on that. So you do connect with your real-life communities very carefully and discreetly, because your friends don't see what you're talking about at work and what you're talking to your family, and there is no way for people who, even if you're contacts with people at Scruples, they don't see anything that you post unless you post directly to them or they're in a discreet private group with you. And we have no tracking cookies. We're not spying on you. You own your content. You delete it anytime. We do not use facial recognition, which, Andy, you just mentioned.
Yeah.
This is really the way it ought to be. And so we've built this great company called Scruples with group in the middle, Scrouples.com.
And tell me how, you know, anybody can join Scruples, but let me ask if there's, how do you pay for all this?
That's such a great question, Andy. I love it. It's my favorite question because we've been fed, you know, untruths. You know, Google and Facebook say we have to spy on you in order to be able to give you this free service. That's baloney. Scruples is a free service. We have a great revenue model. I am an MBA, and, you know, I do believe in conscious capitalism. And so we do have an advertising model. I hope you guys are all sitting down. How about if you pick your ad, and that's the only way that we know how to do it, instead of us spying and scraping and all that creepy stuff. We have an app store. If you're a family group, you might want a recipe book app or a Playdate app. Your work group, you might want task management or project management apps or sports team apps. You know, we have data storage just like Dropbox because you store your videos, your photos, your documents, etc. So 4 gigabytes are free, and then we charge for that.
Yeah, so you have cloud. You have cloud there.
Right, we have what we call MyCloud.
Yeah.
See, the thing is that, like any restaurant you go to, like any store you walk into, they're not spying on you. They have to have the right products in the store. So Scruples is free. We have a great service. As I mentioned, all those sharing and an event calendar and discussions and direct messaging and video documents and photo sharing. And we also, you know, then have special features if you want more storage, you know, pick your ad. Or if you don't want ads, no ads for $2.99 a month. But there is no spying. And we have the poison pill. It's very simple. People say, well, what if someone buys you? I say, well, look at our privacy policy. We have a clause that says if we ever change our privacy policy, we will notify you immediately, and we have to give you an easy way to delete your account.
Now, which way do you think your privacy policy would move if you actually did change it?
Well, our privacy policy is so great. It's easy to read. It's one page.
Yes.
So we haven't changed it in over a year, you know, since we first posted it. It's hard to imagine changing it. It's really, in fact, it was tweeted by the director of Terms and Conditions May Apply, this great documentary film that's just coming out, just tweeted over the weekend that Scruples privacy policy is what everybody should be.
Okay, Amalia, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it's really important. You know, I think that when people think about the corporate surveillance, like the commenter made on Facebook, you know, people tend to think it's really benign, and it's not. I mean, I think that there's examples as recently as last year where the Wall Street Journal made a big story about Staples.com, who had been purchasing from a third-party company that mines for data. They had purchased this data on customers, on consumers, found out kind of neighborhoods the folks lived in, their income levels, and then use that information to actually market different prices to people based on where they logged on and who they were.
Wow.
And, you know, so office supplies is one thing, right?
Yeah.
It happens all the time. You know, it happens around risky, high-interest credit cards and who gets sold which version. It happens to the person who's laid off and is on Facebook and sees ad after ad talking to them about fast cash offers or subprime mortgages. You know, it happens to someone else who lives in a rougher part of town and sees, you know, different prices when they shop online.
Yeah,
and
redlining.
The challenge, you know, the challenge isn't just, like, what is your individual circumstance. The challenge is that the way that the profiles are created are based on people in similar situations or people who, you know, the algorithms that they develop say that this whole group of people has a certain set of characteristics, and because of that, you're like those people, so you're going to get that price too. And so I think we can't separate this from a justice conversation because of the way that race and class factor into these huge generalizations they're making about entire communities, and then how that entire community really, you know, is sold or pushed these ads that are detrimental.
Yeah.
And so what is the Center for Media Justice, or MAGNET, what are they doing to try to promote this idea of privacy and trying to prevent these marketing stereotypes mm-hmm. from continuing.
Well, it's perfect that the movie Terms and Conditions May Apply just came up a minute ago, because the network has actually been working with Active Voice, who is helping the filmmaker to set up conversations all across the country. So there was a conversation after the movie happened in Chicago. There was one in New York, one in D.C. You know, it's going out to the Bay. It's going to places all across the country. And we're hosting panel conversations afterwards so that people, you know, get a sense of how all of this plays out, but then learn how they can take action. You know, at the same time, Magnet and Center for Media Justice and a lot of other public interest allies like the ACLU and others, you know, do a lot of work around NSA, are doing a lot of work around, you know, the political security angle. So I think we're trying to enter the conversation from both pieces, because mm-hmm. not everyone sees themselves as like a political activist, but certainly everybody has a story of how they themselves or a family member or a friend uses the internet for all these other aspects of their life. And need to understand the consumer protection.
Yeah, part. And it does seem to me that a lot of people think that it's somebody else getting in this, doesn't that, Chuck? I mean, it's not themselves being targeted so much, or they want to. Are they living in sort of a
cloud cuckoo land?
Yeah, cuckoo land. Yeah, there it is.
Mark raised a good point when he talked about that you own your data on the Scruples site. Because that's a huge issue that people don't understand. Right now, data is owned by the person who puts the list together.
Mm-hmm.
So Target owns your shopping data because Target keeps track of your shopping data. And Target uses your shopping data to do whatever they want to with it to sell you more stuff.
And you can hardly get on a website anymore without having to create an account so that they can track your activity.
Exactly.
Well, that's right.
And so there's a political change that needs to happen. The laws need to be changed about who owns the data.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to probably take a look at the way Europe does it, because they're much better at this than we are. They're way ahead of us. We have
so many things.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we have defaulted to corporations because they're making money on it. And sort of we're worshiping, since 1980, I think we've sort of been worshiping the god Mammon more than Christianity.
Well, there's been this whole private sector should be and this anti-public sector idea, but you know what's kind of interesting is that so much of this is happening in the background that you know people just don't. Well, see it all happening up front when they go online.
No, because when they go online, they see what they're shown. Unless you're particularly conscious about it, and what you're shown is a product of what's in the background, and never forget that corporations sell data to the government that the government can't, because of the Constitution, get on mm-hmm. its own. So the FBI is one of the leading consumers of corporate data, because that's how they track people.
Well, and this is why, you know, when you think about it, for me, the NSA battle, when you're talking about privacy, almost seems unwinnable. It's like there's so much going on in the background that you're probably going to have a really hard time penetrating those systems and finding out what they're getting. But honestly, they're getting a lot of that information from these corporations.
Well, like the ACLU suing Verizon for just that reason.
Exactly.
I mean, we're Verizon customers,
uh-huh.
and so all of our phone records were snapped up on agreement with Verizon mm-hmm. by the NSA, including all of our legal conversations.
And so as a public, we can go after the corporations and control what they are able to collect about us. And then
much more difficult.
Well, but wouldn't that then be, isn't that the proper channel for being able to cap what the NSA is getting? I mean, if we're putting controls on what corporations can get and the NSA is collecting information from those corporations, are we not sort of getting at it by proxy?
Well, I mean, I firmly believe that this is a situation that we sort of slid into mm-hmm. after, frankly, after World War II, and it just got exacerbated after 9/11. And so I think you probably, if you want to get a handle on this situation, if we want to get a handle on this situation, I think we need to use all the avenues, this political changes and that need to be made to regulate NSAs and the FBI. And there's a lot of other programs. NSA is sort of the poster boy for bad actors right now. But, you know, next week it'll be the CIA, and the week after that it'll be the FBI. So
well, we we have a phone call coming in, but whoever is doing their dishes, please don't. Okay. All right. Okay. Who do we have on the line?
We have a caller.
Who's on the line?
Oh, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Yeah, it's exactly what you're talking about. People say, well, corporations do this all the time. Well, why or how were they allowed to do that in the first place, just vacuum up all this information without us knowing about it? Where did that come from, that they could do that?
Chuck,
whatever.
Didn't we have any right in the, you know, because I didn't know all this was happening, and they, you know, they, and then, too, selling mailing lists, and I get all this junk mail. I mean, don't we, as a citizen, consumer, have a right to have this information protected? How come they're all of a sudden collecting this information and doing what they want with it, where they have it collected and then they can give it or sell it to the government?
You've just made Chuck shake his head. No, we're not in control.
No, remember that whatever is not forbidden is allowed. Mm-hmm. So if there's no law against it, you can do it. So that's
wasn't it forbidden in the first place?
Well, because who could have anticipated that we would be have these abilities to collect this? You know.
Yes, that's the second thing. Mm-hmm. Technology has exploded. For example, the amount of data that we had before 9/11, for example, that was stored in the government's thing, imagine a pile as big as a barn. And now the amount of data is thousands of barns worth of data because it's so cheap. Look at the price of computers. Look at the price of storage things.
Smartphones.
A two terabyte add-on hard drive is like $120.
Well, even since 9/11, look at the explosion in the cloud. Is that right, Mark?
Well, yeah, and remember, we are checking boxes that say we agree to terms and conditions. This is where this great new film comes out.
That's right.
That says terms and conditions may apply, because nobody is reading the fine print. Facebook's terms and conditions and their policies, and Google's, you create a Gmail account, you are agreeing that they can have an algorithm that basically reads everything that you write, and now Yahoo is the same thing. And also, what people don't understand, what our listeners don't understand, is that when you sign into Facebook, they put a tracking cookie on you, and they watch everything that you do at Facebook. But then when you sign out, the tracking cookie stays on you.
Yes.
So, Michelle, when you're looking at wedding sites and things like that, and you're not logged into Facebook, but then you log back in, well, guess what? Facebook was watching everything you're doing.
Exactly.
And you weren't logged into Facebook.
And sometimes it's not that obvious. That's the thing that's scary.
Well, that's
you know,
what I
for
meant
me,
by
it's,
background, yeah.
Yeah, it's really obvious because it's off. You know, they made an assumption based on some keywords in my data that was off. I'm not planning a wedding. In fact, I'm just talking about it for someone else. But so it's clear that, you know, I noticed it. But if it's something that is a little bit more in line with something I would buy and it's more subtle, you know, like the thing I think about is Amalia talked about, you know, different prices. I've actually heard that some of the airline sites will do that. I don't know if you can.
Well, they do that with everybody anyway, depending on when they call in and where, you know.
Well, like Travelocity and Priceline, and ones where the prices would change anyway, so you wouldn't necessarily notice it. I've heard that there can be some differential there, but I have no proof. But it would be, you know, something that's way more subtle that you wouldn't notice that that could, you know, greatly affect your buying power. You know, if they're trying to give you a higher price than someone else based on information they're collecting about you. But Chuck, I mean, we only have a little bit of time here, but we were talking earlier about how the ACLU is all about trying to tell you how you can sort of gain control again, you know, limit what the government can do with your information. So I don't know if you've got any suggestions moving forward on as far as like progressive activism to try to curb this. You know, we're talking about how all this information is being made available and it's just exponentially growing, and how do the laws keep up, and what would be the most important thing to attack first to be able to maintain some liberty in this respect on the internet?
The first thing I think is you need to find vendors like Scruples apparently is, who don't track you, that treat your data as your own data, and you need to get off sites. You need to punish financially people like Facebook, who are you know, using your data to, that's where they make their real money. So if you just simply deny them your presence, defriend Facebook, for example, that's a good start. Secondly, it's been really interesting to see the fusion of the right-wing libertarians and the left-wing progressives in the House of Representatives,
yes,
which is very, very interesting. And so, frankly, second thing is, if you're politically active, you need to support the people who are doing what you want done. And, you know, sometimes they might not be doing everything that you want done in all areas, but you need to kind of, if this is important to you, you need to at least thank them for doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you won't vote for them, but you can thank them for doing the right thing in this area. The third thing is, I think people need to start educating themselves about the issue of privacy and realize, as Mark said, you check it off. You do it to yourself frequently. Mm-hmm. And if, for example, a terms of use agreement is 8 gazillion pages long, it may well not be enforceable. There's been a number of court cases where these, you know, I agree, and it's you're agreeing to a 36-page contract.
Yes. You can't move ahead without agreeing to it.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But in there have been a few cases where the courts have said, no, this contract doesn't apply because it's a misleading document and it's an unfair contract. So I'm not saying that that's widespread yet, but it started to happen. I think basically if you make this known to your target store, if you make this kind of stuff known to your local politicians, because remember, the police have cameras everywhere now.
Oh, I know.
So that's a huge issue that we haven't raised, and that's all interrelated. That data is saved, and yes, they do data mining on it. So you need to kind of put restrictions locally, and you have tremendously greater impact locally than you do on the federal
level. So Amalia, what are you guys doing about all this, and what can other, you know, I want all three of you to sort of address, what is it we can do and can we stop this? Amalia?
Yeah, I think there are a number of things people can do. If folks visit the website for the Media Action Grassroots Network, it's mag-net.org.
Okay.
We have various sort of take action, online actions that people can do, whether it's sending a letter or making a phone call. In August, many of the chapters in our national network will be conducting in-district visits on this issue of consumer protections or NSA spying. So checking out the different groups in the different areas. I know Minnesota, for example, there is a delegation going to meet with folks that people can join. Otherwise, I think, you know, it's also about getting educated right now. I think partly it's hard for people to have these conversations because it gets chalked up to urban myths. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, reading these articles or exposés by the Wall Street Journal, seeing this film, Terms and Conditions May Apply, gives people more concrete examples of how this is impacting their lives. And then you can have a different level of conversation about what action you can take, either at the national level or state level, or even just in your community and family.
And let me ask you, Amalia and Mark, you might know this too, is there some sort of list now that anyone is compiling about, you know, maybe sites that are similar to Scruples, some list of people that are trying to bring change towards this internet privacy discussion? I mean, who can we ally ourselves with, and how do we find out about it?
You know, that's a good question. There is a search engine called DuckDuckGo, DuckDuckGo.com, and they do not spy on you. They don't scrape your data. So that's a good place for our listeners to go.
DuckUcko?
DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo.
Is that like a search engine?
That's a search engine. That's a privacy search engine.
All right.
And there's Hushmail. You know, companies like Hushmail for privacy email. Where you can, you know, have email, you know, imagine this, because email is private, but it's not private when you're using Gmail or Yahoo or other emails.
So do you have to pay for Hushmail?
What's that?
Do you have to pay for Hushmail? Is that the trade-off?
Well, it has a free service, and then they also have a premium service.
We're going to have to wrap this up very quickly here. Chuck, what do you say?
I think I couldn't agree more with everything that people have said. You can go to the ACLU.org website. We're suing NSA, and we're suing Verizon, and, you know, we're doing what we do. Mm-hmm. But people need to start taking charge of it themselves, and that the best way to do that is political.
And we'll post, Mark, we'll follow up with you. I'd like to get some of those resources you just mentioned up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, we were up.
You have to be careful.
Yeah? Oh, yes, you're right. And just
it's funny
careful.
That we're talking about Facebook on here, right? And then we're talking about posting these resources on there. But that's the channel that we have at our disposal.
We ought to start a 12-step program for people on Facebook.
Yeah.
but that's, you know, that is kind of a tough way to go. Well, in any event, we must end it there. As always, we're running over. But thanks to our guest, Amalia Deloney, Associate Director of the Center for Media Justice and Director of MAGNET, or the Media Action Grassroots Network. Amalia, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Come on back soon, you hear?
Yes.
And say hello to that colleague of yours from us, Stephen Renderos. Okay? We miss him around here.
Yep. And thank you also, Chuck Samuelson, for joining us today. He's the executive director of the ACLU of Minnesota. Glad to have you again.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here.
And finally, Mark Weinstein, we thank you so much because you really brought sort of a private sector point of view to this discussion on privacy. Thank you. He's CEO of Scruples, California-based private social network. It was a real pleasure, Mark.
Thank you very much. And it's power to the people. Consumers can make choices. I'm not sure legislation is the answer, but consumers can make choices right now.
Exactly right. It's like last week's global trade issue, the overwhelming task of reining in our governments, our law enforcement agencies, and the increasing corporate control over private information means more and more, not less and less, diligence and activism. So if you're not worried about yourselves, think of the kids and the next generation. Step up to the plate. Once more next week, we're talking about Islamophobia. That's right. Don't miss it.
Truth to Tell is a co-production of Civic Media Minnesota and KFAI. Links to audio and video archives of this and all of our past shows are up on Truth to Tell's own website, truthtotell.org, as well as KFAI.org.
And thanks to our crew. Mark Kerner was our engineer today, videographer, right back behind the camera. Craig Stellmacher and production assistants. Peter, well, Ray Lynn isn't here today, is she?
Oh, we have Peter, though.
And Peter Hansen came in. Thank you.
We'll be back next week with another edition of Truth to Tell. Until then, I'm Michelle Ali Moran.
And I'm Andy Driscoll. And as always, please do take care of each other.